Talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 83. I've got William and Henry here with me.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Pretty good.
It's been a little while since you guys have both been on a podcast together.
Yeah.
Have you guys talked about The Last Jedi on the podcast yet?
Yes. Is there something you want to say about The Last Jedi?
No, just that it was super good, and I don't really get why like 30% of the people that watched it hated it.
Yeah, it was a little bit divisive. Some people didn't like the twists and turns that the story took. I liked it a lot. I watched it twice. I watched it once with our family and then once with Elizabeth when she got home from college. And I liked it even better the second time, but some people had a different reaction to it, and that's fine.
Yeah, second time is even better because you knew that the twists were coming.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I liked how...
Well, you could see kind of how they set up the twists, which was interesting.
I liked how, and this is a spoiler, but I liked how Snoke...
Nope, let's not do spoilers. There may be people who are listening to the podcast.
Okay.
Who have not seen it yet, even though it's been out for a few weeks, but let's avoid spoilers.
Okay, apparently a lot of like professional movie critics said that was the best movie they'd ever seen.
So, I don't know if anyone said it was the best movie they'd ever seen. I think some people said it was the best Star Wars movie.
Yeah, a lot of people said that, but some movie critics said that was the best movie they'd ever seen.
Yeah.
Star Wars, not Star Wars.
C-3PO got slightly more attention. And I think it's probably good that they're keeping like R2-D2 and C-3PO as just like side characters.
Yeah, they've been in all the Star Wars movies. They're like I think they're the only two characters that have been in every Star Wars movie.
Mm. Yeah, they even suffered through
Except
the prequels.
I don't think they were in Rogue One. Or maybe
they
were.
They were in
Rogue One, weren't they?
Yeah, in like this one scene.
Yep, I forgot about that.
Apparently, I read the I've got a bad feeling about this line was...
said by BB-8.
Yeah.
That's really funny. So,
wait,
what else is going
on?
Because apparently, like, Poe responded to him like that. what else is going on?
You guys are back in school after the holidays. How's that going for you?
Yeah.
Were you at all excited to go back, or was it like...
No.
Just a bit.
I was excited about was multimedia and doing stuff with Photoshop.
Yeah. It seemed like we had kind of a long break, but it was a lot of fun. We did a lot of really fun stuff over the break. Mm. So I didn't regret any of it.
Yeah. So today in multimedia, I first Photoshopped a Star Wars poster of Binks, a Jar Jar story. Like a movie poster, and then
that actually sounds.
And then
do
you Photoshop fire over it?
No, then I Photoshopped.
Send that to me. And I'll post it on our Instagram page.
Then I Photoshopped Nicolas Cage's face on the new Pennywise. Yeah. Him growing like with his eyes open.
That sounds disturbing.
Nice.
So they're teaching you how to be an internet prankster.
Yeah, Photoshop is really fun to do stuff with.
Have you ever seen those things where, like, sometimes on the internet someone will say, hey, guys, can you Photoshop me with the mountain in the background or something like that? And then people always just do weird stuff with it.
Yeah, or
sometimes, stuff like that?
Sometimes people, like, intentionally just hold up a blank sign just for people to Photoshop with.
Yeah, those are always funny. I always like those. It's like you ask the internet to do something and they're not going to do it the way you asked for.
Yeah. It's or like
Photoshop me on mountains, like on mountains, the Yeti eating them.
Or like, there's a small clip of a certain politician like watching a movie and eating popcorn and like looking at the audience, but it was on. I mean, it showed a movie, but people like green screened it to show a bunch of different things.
Yeah. This is kind of the boring part of the year, I think, because the holidays are over and now there's not really another...
Well, there's like Valentine's Day where you have a tiny bit of candy and a tiny bit of... and slightly more chocolate, but then it just goes.
Yeah. That's in a month.
And that's not for another month. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
What's today? Today's the 8th, so it's over a month away.
And
you might get a little bit of chocolate.
And the thing about Valentine's
Day... Otherwise, it's kind of boring.
The thing about Valentine's Day is you don't actually... like do that much events like outside of school. And plus it's still a school day. Like Halloween manages to be a holiday even on a school day, but
yeah, like it's at night. That's when you celebrate the most. So it could just get away with still being a school day when it's not on the weekends.
It's still cold, although it warmed up a little bit here. It's still cold in a lot of the country.
It's like, and it's been like in the 50s or 60s. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's the high. The high has been in the 50s or 60s, which isn't too bad. Like, for a while there, it was like, we had a few days where it never got above freezing, which is really strange for Texas.
It was like in the 10s. It was crazy.
Yeah, very, very cold.
The one day it did rain, it was above freezing.
I know. We seem to have that bad pattern where, like, you know, it'll be really dry but really cold, and then the weather will warm up. And then it'll rain, so we don't get any snow or ice.
It did snow just a little bit on New Year's Eve, but not enough to play with.
That was the only day in 2017 that it snowed. It was like apologizing for no snow.
No, there was like that one day, but I'm not sure if that was in 2016 or 2017.
That was in 2016.
And all I did was kind of dust.
It was in 2017.
Dust the rooftops. Not enough snow to even really do anything with.
Mm.
Anything else exciting going on? Getting excited. Although it's still like 2 months away, I'm getting excited for our spring break.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that. I'm excited to see Black Panther because that's coming up. I bet there will be like a mid-credits or post-credits scenes about
Infinity War. Is that the next big movie coming out?
Yeah.
Is Black Panther. That does look really good.
I just know that like the mid-credits scene will lead into Infinity War.
Yeah.
Apparently there's rumors that the Soul Stone is going to be in Infinity War, the sixth Infinity Stone. I mean, no, in Black Panther. Although, and some people say it'll be introduced in Infinity War.
I think it might be introduced in Infinity War because, like, the main plot would be trying to stop Thanos from getting the last stone.
But they're describing some sort of magical plot device in one of the Black Panther trailers. And it kind of sounded like it was a Soul Stone.
Plot device.
The thing is about how superhero movies is I feel like anyone can just, like, read the comics to figure out some stuff. But I don't know.
Been playing a lot of video games around the house. We kind of started during the break when Elizabeth was home. She started playing Dr. Mario, and then we all started playing Dr. Mario.
Yeah, then Fee started playing, then I started playing, then William started playing, then everyone else started playing.
I've also been playing.
If you haven't played Dr. Mario, it's a little bit like Tetris, except it's like Tetris you get these little pills that fall, and you can rotate them and try to match it up.
Kind of in switching between that and the new Five Nights at Freddy's game.
And we got a Super Famicom, which is kind of like a Super Nintendo Mini.
It's really light.
It's a family computer.
Yeah, it's like the Japanese version of the Super NES.
It's really light and it's really
for Christmas, small. And it's really fun. So we've been playing Street Fighter 2.
Except this is a classic. In the American version, it's called the SNES Classic, but this is the classic version because it has a bunch of games.
Yeah, it's just like that. It's just the Japanese version. So it's got a couple of games the American version doesn't have.
I feel
some of the games are in Japanese, the Zelda game. Like
he keeps on translating for me.
I like Super Street Fighter 2, although I feel like it should be renamed Super Stereotype Fighter 2.
It's not Super, it's Street Fighter 2.
Oh.
Stereotype 2.
I like Street Fighter 2. That was a fun game when I was a kid. I enjoyed playing it.
Also,
although it can be frustrating because if some people just use the same move over and over and over, you have to learn how to defend against it, I guess. But at first, it can be kind of
frustrating. You can repeatedly kick or punch or whatever it is to eventually become this ball of energy, and if anyone tries to hit you, then they get electrocuted, and it's hard to predict because at first it just looks like normal hitting.
And then with this one character who's like sumo wrestler, you can just press the punch button really fast, and it'll just like keep on going.
Yeah, and you can just slide.
And it's super fast.
Just crazy fast hand slaps.
I really like, for some reason, I really like 16-bit games. Like just the look of it looks really cool.
I like it too because it kind of reminds me of like. It's about the same graphics as like the coin-op arcade games when I was a kid. And so it just, I don't know, I really like the graphics are good enough, but it's still fun to play.
Yeah, and it's like, it's pixely, but it's still like really colorful and there's lighting and stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of artistic in a weird kind of way.
Yeah.
Also, I've been playing Super Metroid since I beat it on Virtual Console, which is actually easier because you can like place checkpoints. But on this, it'll be a bit harder.
How far in it are you?
Like, I beat the first major boss.
I need to play Super Metroid.
It's like this giant fat alligator guy.
I remember I never really finished Super Metroid on the virtual console for Wii U, but it seems like it's kind of like a, or like a third person shooter, but it's also kind of like an RPG because you can just kind of wander around and do stuff.
Although you have to do it in like a certain order usually.
Not really. You still kind of like wander around like in a lot of RPG games.
Well, Henry knows because he's beaten the game. So you do kind of have to do it in order. It seems like you're wandering around, but there's only certain places you can go until you defeat it.
Yeah, and then you can like use missiles and stuff. Basically, I kind of appreciate this, but in both the English and the Japanese version, there's settings for or new or about to load an account or create an account where you can choose. It was everything to be in Japanese or English, and I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
It can get kind of confusing since it's like there's just like so much areas to wander around.
Yeah, and there's one place where you get kind of trapped, and I thought that was just like an error because I forgot that I could hold B to run.
Yeah, it's a little, that can be a frustrating game if you don't realize that there's like certain things you have to do. Like,
yeah.
I was playing it a little bit, and I didn't realize like when you're the ball, you can blast through things, and I was just like,
"Well, you have to get
the
bomb first."
Oh, really?
I've noticed that the older the game, the less of a plot there is. Like with really old arcade games, like the only plot you can get is basically from like the cover art on the arcade machine.
And then with Zelda, it's just like, "Oh, you have to save someone." And then
with both Zelda and Mario, the plot resolves around basically just you have to go through like multiple castles to save a princess.
And then
in Metroid, it gives you a bit of a backstory, but there isn't really that much other than that.
Well, actually, Metroid and Metroid 2 have pretty good plots.
Well, they give you, like, backstories, but then from then on, there isn't really that much of a plot. It's just you wandering around. And then you get into, like, Ocarina of Time, when it's actually, like, it actually revolves around a plot.
Same as Super Metroid. That kind of revolves around the plot, but it doesn't really make much of a difference until later.
And you also got the game Arms.
Oh, yeah.
Have you played that much?
You played
a couple times,
I've
kind of forgot about it.
I played like a couple times. It's really fun, but really weird. And there's not really much to do.
Oh, really?
The thing
is, like Super Smash Bros.
The thing is, every time I get a Nintendo Switch cartridge and I'm about to put it in the the Nintendo Switch, I'm always reminded of the fact that Nintendo Switch cartridges were like designed to taste bad so that people wouldn't swallow them. And every time I'm tempted to lick one,
they're really tiny.
Yeah.
Don't lick it. Don't chew on it.
They should just make it larger so that you can't swallow it. Well, then you just chew.
But they like made it, they made it like bitter so that people won't accidentally swallow them. And then that causes a bunch of people to do like challenge videos of licking Nintendo Switch cartridges, which is kind of ironic. Mm-hmm. But.
Yeah. People, what you gonna do? So let's do, I know what we should do. We should do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
So I mentioned that it's cold. You know how cold it is in South Florida?
It's so cold that frozen iguanas are falling down.
Are falling from the sky. Frozen
Best
iguanas.
Best cool joke ever.
Literally frozen iguanas are falling from trees. This is a news story from Miami Beach, Florida, from Associated Press and CBS News. It says it's so cold in Florida that iguanas are falling from their perches in suburban trees. Temperatures dipped below 40 degrees Fahrenheit in early Thursday in parts of Florida. This was a few days ago. According to the National Weather Service in Miami, that's chilly enough to immobilize the green iguanas common in the region. You know, iguanas are cold-blooded, right?
Yeah, I was thinking that.
So they can't warm themselves up. So when it gets cold, their bodies get cold and they basically freeze. And it's not that they're dead. It's just they become really sluggish. And when they become really sluggish, they can't hold themselves up and they just plop from the tree. They like drop out of the tree and stop. So there's a bunch of pictures in this article of iguanas that just sort of flopped on the ground.
Okay, I've got a recommendation. Put like a bunch of trampolines around the tree so you can just they can just land on them safely and then like be bouncing, and that'd be super cute.
I think it'd be hard to put trampolines
like
by all the trees.
Like mini trampolines.
The iguanas are actually like an invasive species and they're kind of a nuisance. and they don't really like them that much. In fact, the Wildlife Service was trying to teach people how to catch them and get rid of them. But they say, don't bother the frozen iguanas because they're not dead. And you might just annoy them. And then when they thaw out, they might bite you. So just leave them there. When the sun comes out, they'll probably thaw out and crawl away.
That's nice.
Yep. Don't assume they're dead, says Kristen Summers, who oversees the non-native fish and wildlife program with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. There have also been stunning sea turtles. So the sea turtles will be like, they can't swim because they're so cold.
Aww.
And people have been going out and like helping the sea turtles and like helping them rescue them. But they're not rescuing the iguanas because the iguanas are kind of a nuisance. They're just letting them deal with it.
1 second. I have to play a drop.
Aww.
Is that the drop you're going to play?
That's not the one. It's where the people are saving them. There we go.
Way to go out and save sea turtles, Floridians. Florida man and Florida woman. So that is our first story. Who wants to read the next story?
I will.
Okay, William.
So you see, about like 4 or 5 years ago, there was a movie that came out that apparently people still find just hilarious.
The Emoji Movie.
You see, the Louisiana police issue arrest warrant for Elsa from Frozen because...
The heck?
I don't get why people are still... Okay.
So Slidell, Louisiana is where this story takes place, and that's way down by New Orleans, which is in the southern part of Louisiana, where it almost never freezes. That's kind of important information for this story.
Maybe they were just waiting to make a joke about Frozen, but they had to wait 4 years to make it.
I think the idea is that Elsa must be there, and she must have frozen everything, because otherwise southern Louisiana does not freeze.
Okay, so it says, as you can see by the weather, she is a very dangerous girl. Approach with caution, the department said.
I like that they want her dead or alive.
I just still can't believe that people are still...
Imagine if you killed Elsa and brought her into the police department.
Wait, what?
I got your dead Elsa here.
I just can't believe that people are still joking about Frozen.
Well, people still know what it is.
Yeah,
they still know that she's the ice queen.
You know,
and she can
let's just
things.
Get everyone in the world and just make a ray that makes them forget about Frozen. Let's just do that. That sounds like a good idea.
Henry, I think you just need to let it go.
No, that joke was never funny in the first place, and people were joking about it 4 years ago.
Just let it die.
No.
Just let it die.
That was four years ago, Dad.
Let it
so
die.
The Louisiana
over
police
there.
Have issued an arrest warrant for Elsa, wanted, dead or alive.
Really? Why? Why would
I she froze are... everything? They don't like frozen stuff in Louisiana.
I bet these are the same people that still
Who likes
dab.
Frozen anyways?
Or maybe they haven't figured out about dabbing yet.
It's probably bad for all those alligators in Louisiana too. Probably just like the iguanas and the sea turtles.
Okay, so it says that
they're
post,
also cold-blooded.
It says that the post included a wanted poster offering a $1 million reward for Elsa, dead or alive. Oh no!
So I'm just like dressed up that as Elsa, and then like turn themselves in, and then like just get $1 million.
All right, Henry, do you want to read your story?
Okay, I really like Swans. Might be like my favorite dog story, but
this is a
dog
funny story.
It's kind of funny, but also kind of heartwarming. Dog reunited with family after being carried off by an eagle.
American.
A Pennsylvania family was reunited with their beloved dog after the small canine managed to survive being carried away by an eagle. Monica,
so you know
New
your cousins used to live in Alaska?
Yeah.
And they told us that if you live in Alaska, you can't have a small dog because the eagles will come carry them away.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have lots of eagles in Alaska. Apparently, and they have them in Pennsylvania, too.
Monica Newhard said that her brother was letting the family's 4 dogs, including in Bicon Freeze Zoe, out to play in a family's...
It's a Bichon Frise. I think that's how you pronounce that.
Bichon
Frise. Which are like the little fluffy dogs with yeah. the white out curly
to,
hair.
Out to play in the family's bounds. Town yard on Tuesday afternoon when the man spotted an eagle that swoops down near the house. He's thinking, what beautiful wings. And all of a sudden he's going, oh my gosh, that's Zoe. Newhart told WFMZ-TV. Newhart said the eagle quickly carried 8-pound Zoe out of sight.
That would be so scary. Yeah. Can you imagine an eagle carrying Maisie away? Maisie's pretty small, too.
Although, I guess that Maisie would probably, like, invent a chainsaw while she was in midair and Maisie, then kill the eagle.
Maisie would try to bite the eagle's head off.
Yeah, it would be scary, though.
No. Maisie would invent She'd a probably chainsaw growl. While she is being carried by the eagle. And cut off one of the eagle's talons so that the eagle can't carry her anymore.
I didn't know Maisie was a chainsaw inventor.
She's an Houdini. Escape
artist. I think she's an escape artist, but she isn't really like an inventor.
Okay, no. Never mind. She just keep on pawing at the talons. So you better just be satisfied that she's flying.
So what happened with Zoe the Bichon Frise after she got carried away?
Okay. Basically, Newhart said that the family was shocked by Zoe's apparent demise. Never crossed my mind that would ever happen, she said. Never looking or ever thinking that our dog would be alive. It was dead, you know? Zoe's tale had not yet ended, however, as Christina Hartman had spotted an unusual white object in a road about 4 miles from the Newhart home about 2 hours after the eagle swooping. I see a little spot on the road, white spot, Hartman said. She said she initially thought it was snow, not... She soon realized it was a dog. Hartman took Zoe home and gave her some food and a place to rest. She went online and quickly saw Newhart's Facebook post about the dog being taken by an eagle. The post, which had been shared by one of Hartman's friends, included a photo of Zoe. The family is reunited with their dog Wednesday. People are good. There's good in the world. With everything going on in this world, you think, no, there's not. And there really is, Newhart said. Newhart updated her Facebook posts with news about Zoe's safe arrival home. She said that a stranger offered her a large crate that would allow the dogs to play outside without fear of attacks from above. My only question about this is, how did the eagle get the dog on the road?
What do you mean?
I mean, if the dog was still alive, the eagle could have just dropped her.
I don't know. Maybe the eagle just gave up, just decided they didn't want a fluffy little dog.
Yes.
Either
it's a good thing, though.
It could have dropped it from midair because it was alive. Then how did it get on the road?
Somehow it must have survived the fall.
Either that or it didn't fall.
Or I don't know. I don't know what it did. Maybe it fell into some branches that broke its fall or something. I don't know. But that family has to be super happy that their dog made it. Yeah. Back because they probably thought there's no way.
Also, I wonder how the large crate that would allow dogs to play outside would work.
It must have, does it have a roof on it then? It must be like a little shed that's got a roof on it, but also.
Or maybe it's like something you attach to your roof with like some pillars.
Yeah, or maybe it's like a fenced in area that has a roof on it. I don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking sort of like an extension of a porch.
Yeah. That'd be so scary, though, if an eagle came and snatched your puppy. All right. Yeah. I got one more story here.
That is treat yourself. Wait.
And this is a story about science. Science! Do you know what a bonobo is?
No.
Bonobo?
Bonobo.
Bonobo.
No.
It's kind of ape. It's like a chimp. In fact, they used to be called pygmy chimps. They're related to chimps, and they're actually related to us. Like, they're DNA-wise, the two apes that are most closely related to humans are bonobos and chimpanzees. For a long time, people believed that bonobos were very gentle and cooperative, and they don't seem to have as much conflict as chimpanzees do. Like, chimpanzees are very aggressive, and they have a lot of conflict in their communities. Bonobos tend to be more peaceful, and they share their food.
Oh, no.
And they did a study, so developmental psychologists and evolutionary anthropologists did a study with bonobos to try and figure out if they're more like humans or more like or more like chimpanzees, and do they favor jerkish behavior, like aggressive jerkish behavior? And it's kind of an interesting. So the scientist who led this study was named Christopher Krupiny at Duke University, and he said, of our two closest relatives, chimps and bonobos are the ones known to show less extreme aggression. They're socially tolerant. Of our two closest relatives, chimps and bonobos are the ones known to show less extreme aggression. They're socially tolerant in food settings, and they share food and cooperate in ways chimpanzees might not. So we thought if either of them are likely to share with humans this motivation to prefer helpers, it may be bonobos. So he got together with another Duke University anthropologist, Brian Hare, and tested a group of 43 bonobos. Here's how they tested it. I thought this was really interesting. They showed them a series of cartoons. And some of the cartoons involved three different animated shapes. And the video shows an anthropomorphic circle trying to climb a hill. And in some cases, the circle is helped up the hill by a triangle. In other cases, a square prevents the circle from reaching the summit. So it like pushes the circle down the hill. The apes were offered two identical pieces of fruit, one underneath a paper cutout resembling the helper triangle, and the other beneath the hinderer square. Like human infants, bonobos could distinguish each individual on the basis of social behavior. So if you do this experiment with little kids, like really young kids, they will favor the helpful triangle, not the jerk square.
I'm guessing they chose the square.
Guess which one they chose, the bonobos.
The square.
What do you think, William?
The square.
You are correct.
Yeah, duh.
Oh my god.
These bonobos chose the jerkish square over the helpful triangle.
Okay, but I think it's so cool how this experiment was performed like it would be performed on a human.
Yeah. The other way they did experiments is they watched a series of skits in which a lost toy was either retrieved or returned by a human helper or stolen by a hinderer. So there was a skit where like either the human like stole the toy or helped someone find it. And the bonobos accepted food from the hinderer rather than the helper. So they like the jerkish behavior. So bonobos might not be as friendly as we think they are. Like chimps,
they're really dumb.
They tend to prefer this aggressive, jerkish behavior versus nice.
Either that or they're like super hypothetical. Like, what if the hinderer is actually the original owner? He's just taking it back.
Isn't that funny, though?
Or what if the square is just warning the circle from danger and the triangle is just trying to keep him going towards the danger?
I don't know. I think it's funny. First of all, that they even have a preference. And then second of all, that they prefer the one that's kind of jerkish. Maybe and I don't know. I guess you can't really get inside a bonobo's brain. But maybe they're thinking, well, it's better for me to be friendly with the jerk because maybe he won't be as jerkish to me.
Yeah, primates are really interesting.
The nice one will be nice to me no matter what. I just need to make friends with the one that's aggressive and kind of mean.
Primates are really interesting since they're so smart. I had a dream one time that gorillas were so smart that they were like at high school. Or they were at Phoebe's high school just walking around.
That there were gorillas?
Yeah.
Seems like I had a dream about a gorilla recently too, but that's weird.
But there's like been, I know there's like an orangutan one time that was trained to like kind of talk or like kind of just go like just say hi or stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, they've taught gorillas sign language before. Yeah. There was Coco the gorilla who knew sign language, which is really interesting.
Remember that one news story that we read about the person, the ape who took pictures with a zookeeper's cell phone, and then people had to say that the ape owned the copyright.
Oh yeah, there were lawsuits about who actually owned the copyright, whether the It wasn't a chimpanzee. It was some other kind of ape.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the ape, but it was another kind of ape that like took all the selfies and then... It wasn't a baboon. What was it? I can't remember now.
I can't remember either.
There's a video of a person who does like magic tricks, doing a magic trick where like he would grab peanuts out of midair and he would show it to a bunch of different chimps and they would like try to take the peanuts out of the tablet.
Yeah, there's another one where like this guy does just a really lame magic trick, but the the chimpanzee thinks it's just it's hilarious. Is it a orangutan? Yeah. And just laughs and laughs.
Yeah. Last year when I was in seventh grade, me and my friend group went to the zoo for a field trip, and a bunch of gorillas were, like, just carrying around, like, these leaves and, like, someone's putting them in their mouth and taking them out. And apparently, like, it said on a podium that gorillas really like having, like, favorite objects. And kids said that eventually you're going to see a gorilla with, like, a fidget spinner.
Yeah.
So should we do a segment we haven't done in a while?
Okay, but last thing.
Oh, yeah.
Last thing, I think fidget spinners could totally... I think gorillas could totally enjoy fidget spinners.
They could.
They probably would. I wonder if they've ever tried to give a fidget spinner to a gorilla.
I bet there's videos out there.
They might try to eat it and choke on it, but I don't know.
Yeah. I could train them not to.
All right, let's do either or. Oh, yeah, either or. Okay, I haven't done this with you guys in a while. I think the last time I did either or was a Christmas one I did with Phoebe. But I've got some either ors in front of me. Just a reminder of how this game works. I say two things. You tell me which one you think is right, and I tell you if you're right or wrong. Very simple game. The first either or, chili dog or chili burger?
Chili dog.
Chili burger. Kind of like a sloppy Joe, I'm guessing.
Well, so it's like a hamburger with just chili on it.
I'm going to say
hamburger patty.
Chili dog.
I mean, I don't really like either dogs one that are, much, but I'm going to say
it makes
chili
me super
burger.
Cold, like a chili dog.
All right, William.
Or a dog from Chile.
Henry.
Yeah.
Chili dog is better than a chili burger because a chili dog, although they're both messy, a chili burger is just really messy.
And it can't
there's
just
something about a chili
sides.
Dog. I really like
with
chili
the
dogs.
Chili dog, it has like the things on the sides so that won't fall out.
Yeah,
it also
so you've got
covers
the
bottom. But with
you've
burgers,
got the bun that's kind of keeping the chili in.
Yeah.
Yes, but with the burger, it can just
the burger,
out the
it
sides.
Just flops out the side, slops out the side.
I don't really want to defend my point that much just because I don't really like either one.
Chili burgers
much.
Are not that bad, but you kind of need a fork to eat a chili burger.
I really like sloppy joes.
A chili dog, if you're careful enough, you can just eat it from one end. And
I've done that before.
I like chili burgers.
Sloppy joes are good.
I like chili dogs. They're really good. All right, next either or. Snoopy or Garfield?
That's a no-brainer, Snoopy.
Garfield's just boring.
You're
Garfield's
right.
Not funny.
Garfield... can be funny. When I was a kid,
I
used to read Garfield,
Zogna.
And sometimes it was funny. The question I have about Garfield, though, is you know what Garfield hates?
Mondays.
He hates Mondays. He loves lasagna. Okay, I understand loving lasagna, but if you're a cat, why do you care about Mondays?
Yeah.
It's not like you have to go to work. You don't have to go to school.
I mean,
Monday is just about the same as every other day if you're a cat.
I don't think the cartoon has that much depth to think about or to consider that. I just feel like...
I think we need
also,
to ask these questions.
I feel like Garfield is just very, like, formulaic and...
Yeah, they're
they
just
don't really do.
They don't go anywhere. They're in a room.
Also, I feel like they don't really care that much about the art style. Like, I think Snoopy does that a bit better.
Snoopy's pretty awesome. And Snoopy has a rich, imaginative life. Like, he imagines himself as the Red Baron. No, as the World War One flying ace fighting the Red Baron. The Red Baron is his nemesis. And he has lots of good stories. He's just kind of he's a really good character.
But Garfield just kind of has like just boring and repetitive storyboarding.
Garfield's not so bad. I remember when I was a kid, and it seemed like everyone when I was a kid used to practice drawing Garfield because he's got those kind of oval shaped eyes. I don't know.
But first of all, the reason why I like Calvin and Hobbes is because they do like incredible things with the artwork, and like the Sunday comics can be especially like amazing. And
yeah, I think Calvin and Hobbes like he really. Bill Watterson kind of took everything to the next level. He did a lot more detailed artwork than people were used to seeing in comics.
Yeah, and he gave the comics depth, and even like he even like got into like philosophy and stuff in some of his comics.
All right, next either or, dental floss or dental tape?
Tape?
Do you know what that is?
Oh yeah,
it's kind of flat and it's almost like ribbon.
Yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about. I'm going to say
dental
floss.
Dental floss is like string, but dental tape dental is kind of like ribbon.
Actually, I guess...
well,
dental
actually
floss.
Dental tape because it's easier to tear off.
Dental floss.
Tape.
You say tape? William, I'm sorry. Henry
with
is correct.
With dental floss, it's almost impossible to like get the piece of floss
dental,
off.
Well, either one, they're not that hard because you just use a little cutter.
I will say dental...
Yeah. But the dental tape is really easy to get between your teeth.
And dental tape is
probably...
The
problem with dental floss is if you go too aggressively, it can kind of hurt your gums.
Dental... Yeah, that's true. Dental tape is probably more effective. When dental floss is
supposed
between your teeth.
Both work pretty well. The dental tape is just a little bit easier to get between your gums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really like, on the subject of dental stuff, I really like electric toothbrushes.
Yeah, you guys got electric toothbrushes from Santa in your stocking.
They make the toothpaste taste better. I don't know how, but like, and they make it taste like what it tastes like at like the orthodontist office or the dentist's office.
You know what I don't like about them? Because I got an electric toothbrush too.
Yeah.
Sometimes like when you're brushing your teeth, you have to hold on to your toothbrush. You can't like let go of your toothbrush and just leave it in your mouth because it's buzzing so much it'll fall out.
Oh, it doesn't have
that much. For me, it buzzes like really, really slowly. But what I don't like is I don't know whether I'm still supposed to like move it in circles.
I think you are. I think you're supposed to move it just like a regular toothbrush.
Yeah, except it makes it...
Oh, it's just more effective?
Yeah,
I definitely prefer
I don't know.
I definitely prefer the like bubblegummy flavor over the minty flavor.
Yeah, we have like an Arctic Fresh thing. It tastes like bubblegum.
Oh yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, like the same type of bubblegum that's in like bubblegum ice cream.
That's pretty good toothpaste, I agree. Mm-hmm. All right, next either or. Wile E. Coyote or the Big Bad Wolf?
Wile E.
Coyote is the enemy of the Roadrunner.
Wile E. Coyote.
Wile E. Coyote.
And I know which one you're going to say.
And the Big Bad Wolf can be seen in such stories as The Three Little Pigs and Little Red Riding Hood.
And like a million other ones.
Yeah, it's always the wolf or the fox or the dog.
It's always the Big Bad Wolf.
It's always the Big Bad Canine.
All right, Wile E. Coyote.
Wile E. Coyote.
Big Bad Wolf.
I know what you're going to say,
Coyote.
Too.
He has an actual character other than I'm a wolf. I'm pure evil.
All right.
Also not
fortunately, you both got that one right.
Yeah, I knew you'd say that.
The Big Bad Wolf, though, you got to give him credit because he's been around a long time and he's those old stories. The thing about the Big Bad Wolf, though, is he's not really that clever. Now, poor Wile E. Coyote, all of his contraptions never really work out well for him.
But at least he has...
But at least he thinks about it.
Yeah.
I remember in elementary school, one of the picture books that got read to me was... It was like a continuation of the Big Bad Wolf where they would like make houses out of like metal or chainsaw or titanium. And you'd have to get... I forgot what it was called, but you'd have to get like a jacksaw or something. Or a... jackhammer like in this one, and then they ended up just making one out of flowers, and then he like smelled it and became happy and was on their side.
I do have to wonder like how smart the Big Bad Wolf really is, because I'm sorry, I don't think anybody's gonna be able to blow down a brick house no matter how hard
you're
huffing
also
tough.
Then in some versions he goes down
the chimney
and then
but they just
falls
build a
into
fire.
Pot and he becomes part of their soup.
I was about to say,
gross, but couldn't he just like go through the door?
And also, even if he puts on grandma's clothes, he's not gonna look like your grandma.
I was about to say, so I get that the wolf is trying to eat the pigs, but the fact that they end up eating the wolf in the end is kind of messed up.
It is kind of weird.
Like, even if there's a cannibal that was chasing you around, you wouldn't want to kill it and then eat it.
I think pigs are omnivores. I think they eat both meat and plants.
I don't know. That's just messed up.
Them eating the predators?
A lot of those Brothers Grimm fairy tales
are grim.
Are pretty gruesome. Yeah, they're grim.
Yeah, some of them.
Kind of gruesome, like, especially if you read like the old versions of them, the original versions from Germany.
Yeah, like in Beauty and the... Cinderella, when the prince was going around fitting the... glass
slipper.
I think it's actually silver in the original one.
I think it's a glass slipper. I don't know.
The sisters or the stepsisters like cut off part of their skin to make it
to
fit.
To try and fit. Yeah, gross. All right.
I think it's silver in the original one. No, maybe I'm thinking of... I think I might be thinking of Wizard of Oz.
Those are my either ors. William did a few either ors that we're going to read. I can't remember if we've done these before or not, but we'll do them anyway. Because it's been a while since we've done them. And if we did do them, it was probably a long time ago.
Yeah, we did one.
So the next one is toffee or peanut brittle.
We've already toffee. Done this one.
I don't think we have.
Well, we did for Christmas, we did toffee or fudge. But I don't know if we've done toffee or
peanut brittle. I'm going to say toffee because it doesn't hurt my throat a ton.
Toffee.
Peanut brittle hurt your throat?
They're both really good, but toffee.
Really badly. Toffee.
I'm also going to say toffee because sometimes toffee has chocolate on it.
Yeah.
Also, now, peanut brittle hurts my throat so bad.
Peanut brittle can be good, though, but I feel like if you had some other nut besides peanuts, if it was like almond brittle
that'd be good.
Cashew brittle.
Yeah, mom really likes almond brittle. I really like peanut brittle, but toffee is still better. It's like, it's crunchy and the taste of it is good.
All right, the next one is Iron Man or Batman. I think we've done this one before, perhaps, but it was probably a long, long time ago.
See, the problem is, I want to say Iron Man just because I like Marvel more than DC.
Oh, by the way, neither one is more rich. You know, Green Arrow and Black Panther are way more rich than them.
All right, but the question is Iron Man or Batman?
I'm going to say Iron Man. That's really hard, though.
Iron Man because his gadgets actually have tech in them.
I'm afraid you both got that one wrong.
Yeah, I was leaning a bit more towards Batman.
No.
Batman is the right answer. Iron Man is a little bit annoying with all of his smart alecky remarks.
Yeah, that's true.
And he doesn't have the Batmobile. The Batmobile is pretty cool.
Yeah,
he does,
and he has and the Batcave.
But he does like train Spider-Man and stuff, and it looks like in Infinity War he might be a bit more of a leader.
They're very similar characters, but I like Batman better.
At least, Iron Man doesn't like purposely destroy buildings and like never get caught because he's so perfect.
Now, in recent movies, I do like Iron Man more, but as a comic book character, I like Batman more.
I will Iron Man has a really cool suit, like the way it like sprawls onto him.
So does Batman, though. Yeah, I guess all the tech. Sometimes I feel like it's a little bit too amazing, though.
But like he can
do basically anything with his suit.
I mean, not anything. I mean, he did go to space and survive, but whatever. But like the way he can like use the force basically with his suit.
Oh yeah, like he can use like motion sensored stuff.
And the last one that William had is cruise or resort?
So you're talking about already done this and it's still resort.
I'm not sure if we have. I think we just talked about it before.
Ship or like a beach resort type resort, right?
Yeah. So before I tried either of them, I thought it was cruise. But I'm going to say now that I've been at a resort and I've been on a cruise, I'm going to say resort.
Yeah, by far.
And you're both right. The problem with a cruise boat is you're stuck on the ship.
Yeah.
When you're at a resort, you can go do what you want to do.
Yeah,
you're on a boat.
Yeah,
you
can't do tours or anything because that's like boat.
And if you're on a boat, supposedly cruises have slightly more stuff, but if you're on a boat, there's always that risk that you won't like be able to stop at some place for some reason. Like when you're on the cruise, the winter break of 2016, we couldn't stop at Jamaica, and like one of the speakers was like, "Hey guys, I'm really sorry, but we weren't able to dock our boat at Jamaica. I'm really sorry again." And the other announcer said, "Woohoo! Another fun day at sea."
Hey, don't swear.
One advantage that that cruise ships have is you can go to a lot of different places. But so when you're at a resort, you're pretty much just at one resort. Now you can take side trips off the resort. But I feel like resorts are not as crowded. Like cruise ships tend to be really crowded too because there's so many people on the cruise ship.
I remember this one part during the cruise, like I was going up an elevator, like surrounded by these like really, really weird people. Yeah. And at the end,
you're sort of on vacation with people that you wouldn't necessarily go on vacation with.
Right? Yeah, and in real life, I'm slightly more introverted than extroverted. I think after I got off the elevator, I think I just like ran straight to my room.
And once there's this person who said, "Hey, you want a lollipop?" And it was just
that was like a 10-year-old though. But
hey, yeah,
the resort at Costa Rica was so cool. The only problem I had with it was that there were like giant ants that got in it. But
I like the monkeys in the trees.
Yeah, they would like howl super loudly
and
like monsters.
You know those fridges at hotels that you have to like pay to get some drinks? Well, they're just free and they kept on bringing us beer.
Yeah,
but
we had
to ask for a Diet Coke instead.
Yeah, they would restock
I wrote a note saying, "No more beer. We just want
soda." They would restock Costa Rican fruit and soda.
Yeah.
And Costa Rica is such a fun vacation. That was like my best vacation ever.
Awesome. Also, when I think of Costa Rica, now I think of one word, Jell-O.
Oh, yeah, we had Jell-O lunch.
Although there's this one really good Jell-O that's like a mix between them. And then like in the middle of the little bits and pieces, there's like this foamy stuff. It was good.
All right. So this might be a little bit shorter of a podcast tonight, but it is a school night. So you guys, you need to get to bed. And I need to get to bed because it's a school night.
We have one last thing to do.
And I only have a little bit of time to edit this podcast because I'm going out of town. I talked about that a little bit on the last podcast, but I'm going to go interview my parents. Take all my podcasting equipment and try to interview them and get their oral histories and find out all about their life stories.
Oh, I thought it was mom's parents.
No, my parents.
Oh, okay.
My mom and my dad.
Cool.
Who knows? Maybe if it goes well, I'll interview mom's parents too, or maybe mom can go do it. I don't know. But we do have one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Very good. All right. I was in the store the other day, and these caught my eye. We've done Oreos before, but these are a new flavor of Oreos. They're always coming out with new flavors of Oreos. These are Oreos I've never seen before. There is chocolate hazelnut Oreos.
Whoa, cool.
Basically like Nutella, I guess.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
And hot and spicy cinnamon Oreos.
Hot Red Hots.
At first, I thought that said not spicy.
I think they look like Red Hots. All right, I'm going to take a picture of this so I can post it.
I thought the H was an N, so it said not spicy.
It just Oreo. Says it's spicy and similar.
Okay, Oreo brands are like almost always good, so I'm really excited for this.
We'll see. I don't know. There's some Oreos I have not liked.
Yeah. It's
I don't know about the hot and spicy cinnamon Oreos.
I think at least
they
for me.
They look iffy to me. The chocolate hazelnut looks really delicious, though.
At least for
really
me,
good,
the brands with
the
most.
Chocolate hazelnut's going to be good. And I'm excited for the hot and spicy ones.
For
Which
me,
one should we start with?
Hot and spicy ones.
Yeah, for me, the two brands that are the most trustworthy for like different varieties is Twizzlers and Oreos.
And Lay's. Lay's are really good at that.
This one time I brought these like filled caramel apple Twizzlers with me to a camping trip, and everyone that I gave it to like really liked it.
They're really red in the middle, and they do smell like those Red Hots.
Pass me
or
one.
I think they're also called Cinnamon Imperials.
My prediction would be that the chocolate hazelnut will be better, but I think they'll both be good.
All right, I'm going to pass these around, and I'm going to mute the mics.
Cinnamon Imperials.
Oh, the Imperial. That's like Darth Vader's march.
Yeah.
From the Empire. All right. So I'm going to pass these around, then we'll mute the mic so we don't chew into the mic, and we'll come back.
Crumbled.
And
oh, wait, that's yours.
You can tell us what we think. All right, what do you think of hot and spicy cinnamon
delicious.
Oreos?
Delicious. Yes, not that spicy, but like there's barely spicy, and that's my opinion. I'm really weak to spicy things. So
William and Henry say that it is.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicious.
I bet you're
going to
say that's okay.
I'm not going to say it's okay.
You're going to call it meh?
I'm going to say it's
meh. M-E-H. Meh.
Why? I think it was a bit more bland than I expected, but it was
pretty
good.
Yeah, they're not very hot and spicy, but I don't know. Something about the cinnamon just doesn't go with the chocolate flavor to me.
I think cinnamon and chocolate are awesome.
Not a very good match.
Oh, I remember what it tasted like. Chocolate-covered cinnamon bears, which are only at Winco in Texas.
Yeah, I don't actually like...
I almost went with meh. Or I almost went with okay, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought it was kind of meh.
Yeah, I don't actually like chocolate cinnamon bears. Just something about just, but
I like those chocolate covered cinnamon bears.
I don't know. I just get
delicious.
That like, you know, those foods that like you just kind of like cringe kind of when you eat them.
I don't feel that way about chocolate covered cinnamon bears. I think they're really good.
Yeah. I think
okay. I don't know, but like you know what I mean.
Like your teeth, maybe they like remind me weird
of
way.
Maybe they remind me of those cocoa almonds that I had when I had swine flu.
All right,
I can no longer have almonds.
These are chocolate hazelnut Oreos, and they are the kind of vanilla,
like
the vanilla cookie with chocolate hazelnut filling. All right, just pass them around. I'm going to mute the mics.
Okay, you know what these taste like? They taste like those
Nutella.
Cookies that are. They taste like those cookies that are like. I don't know what they're called, but they look kind of like Oreos, but they're like kind of like vanilla chocolate flavored, and like they have the tan wafer, or they have the tan cookies, and I think they have like a dot in the middle.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Oh, those!
You know, they really do have a strong hazelnut flavor. It's not just chocolate frosting in the middle.
It's
they taste like hazelnut.
It tastes like Nutella.
It does taste like Nutella, but maybe even stronger hazelnut than Nutella.
They do taste like those one cookies. I don't know if there's an actual name for them or if there's just like a bunch of like off-brand ones for them, but...
I know the kind you...
They have kind of like...
I think they have them at like IKEA.
Yeah, they have kind of like a strong taste to them, but like they look
they're
like Oreos.
They're also Keebler ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
They're kind of round, but they've got like a little dot of the cream in the middle.
I'd have some milk after this
because it is... I was thinking of the ones that have the hole in the middle.
I'd have some milk after this because it is Milk's favorite cookie, not sponsored.
Yeah, we can have milk after the podcast just a little bit to wash it down. But what do you think, guys? Time to rank it.
Delicious.
Delicious.
And I agree. I also think it's delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Oreo has good brands.
I thought that the cinnamon, the hot and spicy cinnamon one was just meh. Sometimes I like them, sometimes I don't. Sometimes the flavors they come up with I think are just weird. Sometimes I'd just rather have a regular Oreo if I'm going to have an Oreo.
I feel like their flavors just getting more and more ridiculous, like double stuffed chocolate Oreos, mega stuffed Oreos.
And pretty soon, infinity stuffed Oreos.
I think they need to have like 10 times stuffed so that the cookies aren't even close together.
At this point, they might as well just sell just like tubes of frosting and just have just kids just like, put, like take a spoon
on
and
both
just,
sides.
They might as well just have kids like take a spoon and just like, or just, like scoop it out.
You know how
hands.
Like a package of Oreos only has like three rows? It could just fill up each row with one cookie.
I've got an idea. They should make like... Instead of mega stuff, like mega cookie.
They should.
I think they should try an inside out Oreo where it's like the cookies on the inside
like a
and
mega
the fillings
cookie.
On the outside.
They should
or
see,
like a normal
I was thinking
one
that.
Except the cookies are thicker. That'd be awesome.
They could do like a double deck. They could do like a Big Mac Oreo, like Big Mac style where the cookie's in the middle.
Like
they
a
could,
triple stack.
They could see what happened if they tried to make a cookies and cream flavored Oreo.
And that is our podcast today. So thank you, William and Henry, for being on the podcast.
You're welcome. Remember to follow us on Twitter.
Yes, if you are listening, let us know. Thank you for listening. You can tweet us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Twitter. You can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Talk to Dad Podcast. And if you really want to help us out, something you can do is you can subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. A 5-star review on iTunes is one way to really help us out and get the word out on the podcast so that other people can listen as well. This has been a lot of fun, and we'll see you later. There's time for later.